has come, and he has given us understanding so that we can know the true God. 1 John 5:20. Okay, so I want to know, is somebody here that's been through the whole bus, energy bus thing, and they've been to each one and they have written a word up there? Does somebody have a hand? Okay, good. Okay, that's good to know. I'm glad that you guys have done that. But I think I'm going to pick on Joan for a minute, and because she's been working with me in the office, we've been talking about her word and stuff like that. But I have a little door prize for you, Joan, because you did that. This is a tennis hat. I know you play lots of tennis, so yeah, let's give them, all of them that have been part of this thing, we need to give them a round of applause, because it's been, hey, she looks good, and she kept the tag on like Minnie Pearl, so, yeah. Okay, also, what do I have in my grab bag? I've got something funny I shared with the boys' breakfast club, the bro breakfast, and it speaks to the United States of America, and I think to the church. It says this. This is the big news thing. This is in the Wall Street Journal, so you know, right? It says, House passes resolution opposing hate. Doesn't that hit you as weird? Yeah, finally. Really? We've had the Bible all this time. We know Jesus and God and everything like that. And the House passes a resolution opposing hate. Now, who would have thought that we were supposed to not like hate? That's pretty amazing, folks. To me, that tells me there's a lack of God. You're kind of in a country that really doesn't even want to talk about God anymore when you have to pass a resolution. I don't think 200 years ago when we started, there would have been any thought of that. They would have never said that. They would have said, no, we oppose hate, folks. That's just all there's to it. So I just thought that was weird. Lots of money spent on that little resolution about something we already know. Well, that's my little show and tell for this morning. But this is it. Today is the last day of the energy bus, and it's the last in the series. And of course, these conversations are going to continue because we're talking about moving down the street until we reach that final destination out at the Cedars. Tim talked about that this morning because we want to keep the fire burning. We want to blaze a trail and get ourselves down there and move in joy together as we set up shop to minister to others and talk about Jesus in enthusiastic ways. So in your hand, you have a bus ticket, and maybe you have this piece of paper. What's called the positive pledge, maybe one per family or something like that. Now, I want you to hold on to those just for a minute. Well, a couple minutes. I'm going to talk about those a little bit later. But we've been talking, remember, about the 10 rules as we jump onto the bus heading to our new mission center. We call it the Cedars, which, by the way, is booked through April, if I remember right. And we already have bookings in 2020. So if you want to get on board, you better get going soon because it's going to be all booked up. I want to do a quick review of the first 9 rules and then jump into number 10. So let's not forget that we are responsible for the church, what the church does, responsible for the church's success as passengers, as a driver. And remember, we want to seek God's kingdom first. We want to seek his righteousness as we move forward in faith. So the first one, in way of review, oh, by the way, there are some outlines in the back at the Welcome Center. We don't have a bulletin right now while Brittany's out, so you can pick up an outline on your way out. Okay. Thank you. So, yeah, some on the back tables, too. So rule number one, you're the driver of the bus. We talked about that. Now, the church has called the senior pastor as the driver to kind of do some direction and so on and so forth, teach, preach, train, and equip. But the church has also called the paid staff to be part of that and help in assisting that driving. And so we talked about my responsibility as a driver and how grave that is according to Scripture, and also the responsibilities of the passengers, like tithing and loving and giving and cutting out gossip while we're on the bus and even off the bus and in life. And you know what's going on in our community today and all the gossip that's going on. We as church people just need to cut that out. And cut it out of our lives here too, if it goes on here. Just knock it off. And we need to get into God's word. So number two, desire, vision, and focus. That moves our bus in the right direction. And if you take a look at the disciples, the life of the disciples, those guys loved Jesus. They had a desire to follow Jesus. And they had this vision that Jesus gave them of fishing for men and women, leading people to him and baptizing them. And so they focused on that. They set a strategic plan on it. They went after it and were a result of what happened 2,000 years ago. So we need that desire, vision, and focus. Number three, we need to keep fueling our ride with positive energy. I can't stop talking about that enough. The negative stuff, like the gossip, everything else, it's got to go. And as my mother used to say, every morning, Dave, when you get up, you choose your attitude. No one else chooses it for you. You choose it. So choose wisely. Choose a positive attitude. Choose a good attitude. You know, Nehemiah 8:10 says it well. The negativity of the Lord is my strength. Really? What is it? The joy of the Lord is my strength. Number four, invite people on the bus and share your vision for the road ahead. We're moving forward in faith. Hey, guys, we're going to be doing some cool, exciting new stuff down at the Cedars Mission Center there, right down the road. It's going to be family-oriented. It's going to be lots of fun. It's going to be God-inspired. And let me tell you, the Baptists know how to cook. So you might want to come on down and check us out. So be very inviting and share your vision. Number five, don't waste your energy on those who don't get on the bus. Can't tell you how much energy in business, in churches, and all of that, how much energy we spend on people who do not get on board. We talked about the scripture there. Sometimes just brushing the dust off your feet and moving on. Number six, post a sign that says no energy vampires allowed on the bus. We're going to have great attitudes. We're going to ride. We're going to have some fun together. Number seven, enthusiasm. We have to have that enthusiasm, which means being filled with the divine and, in our case, filled with the Holy Spirit. That attracts passengers, and it energizes passengers for the ride as we move down the street. So we need to be enthusiastic. And then number eight is love our passengers. We have to love each other on the bus, take care of each other, and we can do that by making time for people, listening to our passengers, recognizing them, serving them, of course, loving them, and bringing out the best in our passengers. That's what we want to do, is bring out the best in each other. So then number nine, drive with purpose. We do have a purpose. Come on, let's go. Let's blaze a trail. We know one of our purposes is to move down the street a mile away, but then to establish ourselves in the community as a mission center, the Cedars, where we lead people back home to God. We lead people to Jesus. So this brings us to our 10th rule. That's what we're going to talk about this morning. But before we get there, as the driver and as passengers, I want to confirm our calling for what we're about to do. And if you have your Bibles, you might want to turn to 2 Peter. 2 Peter starting in verse 1. These are great verses. I've been rereading them all week. They're just wonderful. And Simon Peter, he talks to those of us who believe in Jesus as Christ, as Lord, his death, his resurrection, the forgiveness of sins, you know, those of us that believe that, the God who has called us to do good works, to be in the community, to lead people to his son, Jesus Christ. And of course, like the disciples, to be fishers of men, this is who Peter is talking to. And Peter gives us a message, I guess what I'm going to call a message for success as we move forward, as we drive on this bus together. Listen to what he says. This is 2 Peter 1 through 11. I know it sounds long, but listen to it. It's pretty good. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who, through the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ, have received a faith as precious as ours. In other words, they believe. They're believers. Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these, He has given us His very great and precious promises so that through them you may, and you might want to underline this, you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, self-control perseverance, and perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection, and to mutual affection love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. What's really cool here is he says, possess these qualities in increasing measure. You don't just get the qualities and live them. You got to grow in them. They got to increase. So, but whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. I like that. And you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So Peter says, we who believe become partakers in the divine. So I want to see a bus full of people that are partakers of the divine. You know, in Greek thought, one could become divine. One could actually become divine. So Caesar became divine. Well, Christian thought does not believe that. Only God is divine. But yet, we do become, as the King James says it, partakers of that divine nature. And here's what that means. So we are by grace made like God. We're not made God. We're made like God. So if God is love, and He is, God is love, we love. And for us, the Bible tells us increasing. Peter says, man, you got to increase that love. Well, if God is truth, and He is, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes before Him. We know that. Well, if Jesus is the truth and God is the truth, we become true. That is, we live by the truth and the very words that come from Scripture and Christ. If God is good, and isn't He? He's pretty good, isn't He? Well, if God is good, He makes us good so that we can do good works and that we who believe will see Him. Now that's great stuff. That's the kind of stuff we want to have on the bus. Those kinds of people. So as passengers, here's what happens. If we participate in what's called the divine nature, we go forward in faith, building relationships with others. That includes the thousands of people, 1,000 a month coming through the Cedars. So thousands of people that come through there, making it evident by our daily walk and our conversations with folks that God is real, alive, and awesome. You know what happens? That takes a ripple effect. You don't have to have a government resolution to say, hey, we oppose hate because we love so much as God loved us. In love, we share that scripture, the Bible, that those things, or the Bible and scripture, that they are the inspired word of God and they're good for teaching and for confronting and correction, for training, as the Bible says, what is right. So that as one comes to faith in Jesus, one is made complete to do a bunch of good things. Now, I paraphrase that a little bit. That's from 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17, if you want to jot that down. You know, several years ago, I don't remember how many years ago, it was several years ago here at this church, I asked the congregation if they were fat. Everybody's looking at me going, what? That's not very nice. Kind of a rude question. But I wasn't talking about our physical bodies. I was talking about being spiritually fat. And as folks on the Move for Christ driving together in the towards the future and the future ministry and mission that we have going, we need to really beef up spiritually being faithful, available, and teachable. Fat. Faithful, available, and teachable. And I think this will help us make that move, have an adventurous ride, which then brings us to the 10th rule. It's easy. Have fun and enjoy the ride. Have fun and enjoy the ride. Folks, there's no need to complicate this. And I said it last week or the week before. If you think it's complicated, it's because you're complicating it. I'm not. I'm saying let's get on the bus. Let's ride down. Let's worship. Let's lead people to Jesus. It's pretty much that simple. Is it a lot of hard work? Oh, yeah. Because we got to pack stuff up. We got to sell stuff, whatever we got to do. And we're working on those things. You know, the executive council meeting we had just the other night, I have to say it was the best executive council meeting I've had since I've been here. And I'm not saying executive council meetings are bad. I'm just saying this one was fantastic. And we started off with prayer. We talked about how and logistics and different things and getting people on board. And everybody was excited for something new, for seeing new faces and leading people to Jesus. It was just a wonderful, wonderful time, filled with enthusiasm. Now, here are some of the details. Remember, I said I'd share a few of the details because we don't have them all down yet. First, we want to have a, we don't even know what to call it yet, but kind of a trial service with Sunday school and a nursery at the Cedars on the fifth Sunday of June. The fifth Sunday of June. So that gives us some time to plan it out and get some more things going. And then we're going to have more conversation on that before June in April with our congregational meeting. We're running up against, spring break. So we're trying to figure out when to get that that meeting in so we could talk about everything from finance to the move to everything else. And I think that's April, the second Sunday in April, which is, if somebody's got their calendar, 14th, I think that's what we called it as. So you got those two things coming up. And so, what we need to know, what I need to know, is who is on board. Who really is on board? Who's going to be riding on the bus? So in your hand, you do have a bus ticket. And if you're ready to jump on board, here's what I'd like you to do. I'd like you to put your name on the back of it, of that ticket, and then turn it in. If the ushers could do that for us, so maybe just have an offering plate out back or something there for us, and turn your ticket in the baskets or in those plates in the back of the church on your way out. Now, the piece of paper that you have there, that has a positive, what's called the positive pledge on it. That was written by John Gordon. And by turning in your ticket, it means that not only are you riding along on the bus, but that you have affirmed that pledge. Now, I signed that pledge literally, hand-signed it, in 2018. It's hanging in my office because I refuse to live a negative life. And I want to be reminded when I do go negative, hey, Dave, you signed this thing. In the back, then, we have a big, like this one word, we have a big declaration of that pledge. And if you have the mind, I'd love for you to sign that as well. There's a bunch of different colored Sharpies. So you can choose your color and just sign it. Yep, I'm going to live a positive life. I'm on board. I'm ready to go. Plus, when you turn in your ticket, especially when you have your name on it, it allows the staff, when we get together almost every Monday, gives us the opportunity to pray for you in any way that we can, because we know that you'll be on board. And I want to warn you, this means that when you do that, you're basically, kind of buying into all the things that we have talked about that are listed on the wall. So if you don't want to turn in your ticket or if you're questioning whatever, go take a look at the wall. It's all there. And you can either sign up or maybe say, this is not for me. And if it's not for you, we're not going to love you any less. We want you to come and worship with us and celebrate Christ with us. But also, there may be another bus you want to get on and go in a different direction. So again, before you jump on board, you may want to take a look at what's listed there. None of it's real difficult. It's all very uplifting and enthusiastic. So we want you to decide yes, but we are going to love you either way. And so folks, on this ride, we need, and this is on the outline, I think I put it on the outline, we need folks with what champions call the five E's, as in the letter E. Folks who run the race to win, like the Apostle Paul. His was spiritual. Ours is physical movement, but it's also a spiritual movement. And we want to move and run the race to win. So these five E's are irresistible energy. Folks, we want to be people, passengers that elevate one another. We lift each other up. We want to be folks that give our best effort in not only the physical move, but the spiritual move. To learn, to grow, to know God, to make Him known, and make Him known to others. And then we want folks that aim for excellence, not perfection. You're never going to get that. But we can strive for excellence. And then finally, folks that will enjoy the ride. And I hope you will. It's going to be a roller coaster, right? And I'm afraid of heights. When I get up there, I'm screaming on the roller coaster. When I go down, my tummy comes out and goes back in, just probably like most of you. But once I get going, I love the ride. And it's a lot of fun. So we have name on the bus ticket. Drop it in one of the offering plates in the back. Sign the pledge and then get ready to roll. Because this is it. This is, now you can take a couple weeks. That's fine. We don't have to know right now or today. You might want to pray about some of these things. This is it. Let's blaze that trail over to the Cedars so we can lead people brand new to Jesus Christ and really, really make a difference in our community. So if you'd like a copy of everything that we talked about, so we'll just copy those things. We'll put them in a little booklet. There is a sign-up sheet in the back at the Welcome Center so that you can be reminded of what we talked about, the attitudes that we need to have, and the things that we'll be going through together. Also in the back is a keychain that's below the poster that you would sign the pledge. And it's a bus keychain, little orange thing, looks like a school bus. One side it's got the bus, on the other side it says get on board. If you turn in a ticket and you sign the pledge, I'd like for you to take one. Now you can take one even if you don't, but that's your conscience, not mine, right? So those are really for folks who say, yeah, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to trust Jesus. I'm ready to put it on the line. I'm ready to risk, to make a move, change my life, change the life of the church and where we are, all to lead people to Jesus. Would you join me in a word of prayer? Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for the folks that are here today. I lift them all up to you. This is kind of a really challenging time for us. I think it's a great time. I'm so excited. There's just so many people we get to meet when we go over there. Would you just bless every person here? Bless their households. Would you work in our hearts and our minds? Help everyone to make the right decision that where you have called them in life. And Lord, help us more than anything to love others, because that's what you're all about. Is just that pure love, that sacrificial love. So we say thank you for who you are, and we say thank you for today, and we say thank you for this future ride that we're going to be taking together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.